Good evening.
Good evening.
Welcome. I welcome you with all my heart. It is good to be with you once again on this hot Thursday evening. We can all sweat together. We'll become one in the sweat. All of your desires, all of your needs, all of your wants are already within you, waiting to be fulfilled and expressed. Ponder this. All of the masters, the teachers, the saints, the sages that you have worshipped all of your life, whether it's Buddha, Christ, Muhammad, Moses, whomever, have always been within you, waiting to be expressed. Ponder this. The only problem you have that does not allow these sages, your desires, your wants to be expressed through you, is your noisy mind. Ponder this. Whatever you see in your life right now, good or bad, is a result of your thoughts and your belief. It has no other reality. It is not permanent. Ponder this. There is absolutely nothing in this universe that can hurt you or cause you physical harm or cause you pain, except when your mind is trained to believe these things. Ponder this. You have absolutely nothing to do with this world, this universe, or with others. Yet at the same time, you are this universe. You are places and things and others. Ponder this. No one is responsible for where you are right now. Whether you like your position or you do not, this is where you are karmically. This is where you're supposed to be. And all is well. ponder this. You are not what you appear to be. The world is not what it appears to be. The universe is not what it appears to be. Your God is not what it appears to be. Ponder this. The substratum of all existence is absolute intelligence, choiceless, pure awareness. Therefore, how can there be evil, so-called, on this earth? How can there be sickness, man's inhumanity to man, lack of limitation on this earth? As a substratum is pure consciousness. Ponder this. Everything that you behold with your senses is an optical illusion. Ponder this. There is only one intelligence, one consciousness, one awareness, one ultimate reality, one life, and you are that. Ponder this. To free yourself from this optical illusion, this Maya, the mind has to be controlled by finding its source. Ponder this. You find the source of the mind by following it to its original place of origin. From where did it arise? Who gave it birth? How did you come by a mind? By inquiring into the nature of the self, you attain unconditional freedom. Ponder this. When one intelligently investigates the source of I, one then ultimately becomes free from the bondage of I and becomes all-pervading, omnipresent consciousness. Bondage is. Your past only exists because you think about it. Your fears, your frustrations only exist because you think about them. Where would they come from if you didn't think about them? If you didn't bring them into play in the present? Where would they come from? How would they be there? You are the cause of all of your problems. Ponder this. The so-called good things of your life are equal to the bad things of your life. They are both karmic, and you have created these things at one time or another. You are now experiencing them. The only way to remove them from your life is through inquiry. To whom do they come? What is their source? Ponder this. Who is the one that is pondering all these things? That one must go. Ponder this. You have absolutely nothing to do with pondering anything. For the truth is already present, shining in all its glory and splendor, and you are that. There is really nothing you have to do to become self-realized. Only to get yourself out of the way. Ponder this. Since there is no one to ponder, why are you pondering this? You are beyond pondering, beyond trying to change conditions, beyond trying to improve your humanhood. beyond trying to get along in this world. Since you're already the world, there's nothing you have to do but awaken to the truth. Ponder this. To be yourself means not to be the body or the mind or the conditions in your life. Ponder this. To be always happy, to be always contented, always at peace, and not to think at all on the marks of realized being. Ponder this. What you see in this world is only yourself. You can never see anything else. Wherever you look, you will see yourself. If you are troubled, you will see troubles everywhere. If you are at peace with yourself, you will see peace everywhere. You are the cause and creator of your particular world. And yet you have the power to change it. By turning within and not reacting to the things of this world whatsoever. Ponder this. You are born into a certain situation with certain parents, certain religion, certain environment. This is all right, and this is all good, and this is how it should be. Use the opportunity to awaken. Instead of feeling sorry for yourself and comparing yourself with others, use the opportunity to awaken. To become totally free by negating all these things and understanding the truth about yourself. Ponder this. There are no situations or conditions that come into your life that you cannot handle. You have been given the power to handle everything that comes your way. the wise person does not feel sorry for themselves, but rather transcends and transmutes their environment, their condition, by turning within and realizing the truth. I am Brahman. I am absolutely pure awareness. I am consciousness. I am Satchitananda. I am that. Pandavas. It is a rare privilege to be born as a human being, even though it's an illusory birth. But to be born as a human being is the only way you can find yourself. An animal, a tree, a mineral cannot do this. You have been given the rare opportunity of birth so that you may find self-realization and unfold into your true nature. Do not use your time for anything else. This is the purpose of being in this birth, to become absolutely free and liberated. Ponder this. You do not know how much time you have left in this body. You may be called home tomorrow. You may leave your body tonight, this very hour. What have you been doing with your life? What is this which determines where you go from here? This life is a continuum. It doesn't end. It merely continues from where you left off. This is why people who commit suicide make a grave mistake. For they think they're going to become totally free and liberated. On the contrary, you will take a short rest on one of the astral planes, and then you will continue where you left off. Your job is to find total realization, become absolutely free, and then come around the circle again and again. Rebirth, problems, trying to get off the wheel. This is for children. Become free by inquiring, who is it that's bound? Ponder this. Do not believe anything that has happened to you, to your body, to your affairs, has been erroneous. Everything that's happened to you has been necessary. You are in your right place, going through the right conditions. You are with the right people. You are where you're supposed to be. The wise person does not complain about their lot. They rise higher. By self-inquiry, by explaining to yourself, inquiring within yourself, how did I come here? What is my source? Who am I? And becoming totally free and liberated. Ponder this. There never was a time when you were not, and there will never be a time when you disappear. There is no birth for you. There is no prevailing of the body. There is no disappearance. There is only eternal life. Ponder this. The mind cannot destroy the mind. Pondering cannot destroy the mind. Thinking cannot destroy the mind. The only way to destroy the mind is to inquire, to whom is there a mind? Ponder this. You are already free and liberated, and there's really nothing you have to do. Just be yourself. Ponder this. To be yourself means that you're nothing else. To be yourself means that you are not the body, nor the mind, nor the world, nor its things. To be yourself means that you are the imperishable self, which is all-pervading, water cannot drown it, fire cannot burn it. You are that self has always existed. Some people call the self God. Some people call the self Brahman. Some people call the self choiceless, effortless, pure awareness. It makes no difference what you call the self. Just to know you are that will free you immediately. Ponder that. There is really no one that can do anything for you. I cannot really do anything for you because I am really in yourself. There's no difference between myself and yourself. There's one self. Therefore, when you look at me, you see yourself. What do you see? Ponder this. Ponder the one who's been pondering all this time. Ask yourself, who am I? Why is it so hard to become the purest, unblemished self? For whom is it hard? Ask yourself, why do I think I'm human? I have to go through experiences. Who's human? Who has to go through experiences? Ask yourself. Ponder this. That's enough pondering. Feel free to ask questions. You've pondered yourself out.
Robert, when you say follow the eye thought to the source, is there a source?
Applesauce. There is a source as long as you are human. When you are human, you are a person, you are a lady. Then when you're working on yourself, you have to follow yourself to the source, the I thought. But when you awaken, there never was a source. That's why I always say applesauce. Because the source only exists like the body exists. Like the world exists. Like the universe exists. For whom is there a source? for the person who has to find it. Therefore, as you find the source, as you go towards the source, and you do it earnestly, the source and all its manifestations will disappear totally and completely.
So there is a moment then when a person on the verge of enlightenment will say, oh, there is the source, and then the source disappears.
No. They will not say there is a source. For there will be nobody to say that left. As long as you say that there is the source, there is a semblance of the ego left, of the mind, that says that. When you really awaken, there will be nothing left to say or do or be.
The source itself is a creation of the mind.
Yes.
What?
The source itself is a creation of the mind. And as long as you're using your human faculties to find yourself, we have to talk about a source.
It feels like chasing a ghost through an empty house that doesn't exist.
That's what you're doing. But who's doing the chasing? The one who's doing the chasing does not exist either. Yet you have to do all these things to awaken. Not really, you don't have to do these things, but you want to do these things. Otherwise you would just awaken and be free. Right now. Think, what's holding me back from awakening right now? Right, friend. That's
just,
it.
Thinking I'm an individual.
Of course. Thinking anything. Who gave you permission to think?
You did.
I'm trying to stop you from thinking. To pull your mind away. And you'll be free of it. Many of you think it's so important to think. You believe that if you didn't think, your world would fall apart. On the contrary, if you didn't think, you would become one peaceful, happy person. You'd have total peace and total happiness. And you would always do the right things. But because you think you have to think, the problems arise, problems come and go. You exchange one thought for another. And you keep playing these games with yourself. Until you get down to facts of what. You get down to the place where you want to stop thinking and be liberated. You put this first in your life. You have to be totally honest with yourself by asking yourself, what is first in my life? And that's for yourself. The first thing in your life is what you think about most of the time. If you believe there's something wrong someplace, you are holding yourself back tremendously from being liberated. Just by that thought that something is wrong, either with me or with the world or somebody else. That thought alone keeps you back, bounds you, keeps you bound. Break the bondage by removing the fear of stopping your thoughts. Feel deep in your heart that nothing in this universe could ever hurt you or wants to hurt you. Everything has been necessary in your life. It's all good. As you see yourself this way, your consciousness will expand and you will make tremendous progress on this path. Inquire to whom does this come? Who has this problem? As long as you think yourself as George, then George has this problem. When you begin to see that you're not George, you never were George. George is just a name given to you at birth. You really are all pervading consciousness. There's no lock. There never was a lock. You're not bound. There never was bondage. It's like the story of the person who was thrown into a dungeon and was in this dungeon for many years. They forgot all about him. They would just show a plate of food under his cell every day. And he just sat there crying to himself year after year, saying how to get into this bondage, how to get thrown in this dungeon, feeling sorry for himself. One day, after being in prison for many years, he became very aggressive with himself. And he said, I no longer care about being alive or dead. I don't want to care about being here. I don't want to care about anything. And he went to hit his head against the wall. He hit his head against the door of the cage, of the dungeon. And lo and behold, the door was open. The door had always been open. It was never locked. For 20 odd years that he was in prison, The door was never locked. It was only when he had the courage to stand up tall and all fear was gone that he found out the door was open. So he simply walked out of the jail. No one recognized him, no one knew him. No one had seen him in 20 years. And was completely free. So it is with us. We are in a jail of our own making. We limit ourselves. We feel limited to our body, circumstances. We think we're human, frail, and subject to disease, karma, all kinds of problems. This is your jail. It is in your belief system. In truth, no one was ever bound. There's no one to become free. You are Brahman. And you've always been pure awareness. This is your reality. This is you. See it. And the fellow opened the door and walked out. When you realize you are that, you will become omnipresent, all pervading consciousness. This simply means that human beings are the microcosm and the macrocosm. Within yourself is the whole universe. The distance between two atoms are the equivalent distance between two planets. And as you go within the atom, within yourself, you will find comparable universes. And they have atoms. And you go within that atom, and there are more universes. There's no end to it. Infinite. It's mind-boggling. But the question remains, who are you that experiences this? That's what you have to find out.
Robert, are the thoughts that we have, are they just inside the brain, or do these thoughts exist like atoms outside the brain, and the brain's an antenna that picks up thoughts?
The brain is part of the body. The body itself is a thought. Therefore, what you call the brain is a thought. It doesn't really pick up anything. It appears to be a thought that you're able to think of other people, other places, other things. But in reality, this is all the result of the mind, or the ego, or the I thought. All these things are synonymous. We can say something like the ego, the mind, is like a knot between the I thought and the personality. when the nut gets cut, everything merges in the self, in the heart. You become totally free. Therefore, all the thoughts that you think with your brain come from the mind. When the mind goes, the brain will just be a simple function of the body that will keeping you alive like you are now. Only you will know, you will understand the reality that you are not dead at all. Yet you will be able to function beautifully. Everything will be done the way it's supposed to be done. And you'll be at peace.
Robert, the deep sleep mind exists or not? Who remember I am in deep sleep?
In the deep sleep, I exist. The mind does not exist. In deep sleep, the witness of the sleep exists. This is why when you get up, you can say, I slept well. I slept good. Think of what you're saying. You're saying, I slept well. I slept good. If you had any dreams, you will say, I dreamt. And when you are awake like you seem to be now, you will say, I am awake. But notice the I was the witness to all three states of consciousness, to the waking state, to the dream state, and to the deep sleep state. When you discover who the I is, you will realize the I is really Brahman, Satchitananda. And there's no one to sleep, no one to dream, and no one to be in this consciousness that seems to be real. This waking state is just another dream. That's all. So find out who the I is who sees this, who witnesses this. And you become totally free of the whole ballgame. True.
Also, then, what you're saying is the I is really independent of everything that's going on in my life.
Yes.
But it gets identified with it and thinks it's really happening to me.
Exactly.
And it really isn't.
It's happening to the I. That has nothing to do with you. The eye is going through all these experiences, the eye thought. If you can really separate yourself from the eye, you'll see that you're not having it.
The eye is the
witness. The eye is the witness, but in reality, the eye is I am. The eye is really Brahman. And we think the eye is
we identify
with the eye and we think the eye is us. I have a body, I have a pain, I feel this and I feel that. So we have lowered Brahman into the material world, so to speak. But as we continue searching for the eye and following the eye, then I will turn into Brahman. Then I will become I am.
Which it always was.
Which it always was, yes.
It just took a little vacation.
Exactly.
Why does it do that? It's such a stupid process.
It doesn't really do that. You should question yourself, to whom does it do that to? Who believes this?
Well, the notion of a separate I arises from pure consciousness. Where else can it come from?
No.
Where does it come from?
Where does the one in the mirage come from?
It doesn't.
Exactly. That's an optical illusion. We are talking about these things. We have to use words to explain these things. And we get into all kinds of nonsense. If you can only understand that nothing exists, there is nothing that actually exists the way you think it does. Then you'll realize consciousness can't do anything to anything. Consciousness is self-contained, pure awareness. It only knows itself. It knows nothing but itself. It knows itself as absolute reality.
Does it act as a screen for all these scribbles?
That's the stage we go through too. That's the screen. We use a screen image.
That's just an image.
Yes.
It really has nothing to do with consciousness.
No.
We attribute it to consciousness as the screen on which all this is written.
Yes.
But that isn't true.
No, not really.
Why do we say it like it is true?
Because we refuse to sit in the silence. If we would sit in the silence, we'd realize all this is a lie. When I try to sit in the silence with you people for an hour or so, you complain to me. You call me on the telephone and say, Rob, why don't you say something?
Why don't you lie to us some more?
That's what I've been doing all this time.
But the people that are for that are being silent. Are you counting their vote also?
Well, unfortunately, there are more people who want me to talk, and there are more people who want to keep silent.
But you're a big boy. You don't have to follow what those people want.
While I'm here, it's to be of service. And while I'm here, we'll talk a little, we'll keep silent a little. We'll do whatever we have to do.
We could have one night of total silence for those that are interested.
I suppose we can. The silence is within yourself. How will you maintain it if you don't maintain it?
An evening of all
silence will turn to havoc. We'll have scratching and moaning.
It'll give you a wonderful opportunity to watch your monkey mind objectify it.
Sure.
That's all we do anyway, but meditate. Watch the witness of the mind shenanigans.
Of course. We're doing the right things.
The person who's meditating or sitting in the silence, he can only know, I mean, I think there's all, in my mind there's always something going on. There's always this stuff going on, so I guess that's what I think the world always is, right?
Sure. What you think and believe, that's the world. You create the world. Always remember everything is in a state of flux. Nothing is solid in this universe.
Nothing is what?
Solid. Everything is in a state of movement. The mind is the energy that
causes a change to take place that molds the energy into what you believe. That's why certain metaphysical organizations teach you about mind. They tell you that mind is the most powerful tool you've got, and you can become anything by thinking about it. And you can. But what you're doing is you're pulling yourself back into Maya by using your mind. It is true you can do all kinds of things by using your mind. But in the highest truth, you will be downgraded. You'll pull yourself down. The highest teaching is to destroy the mind, to get rid of it completely, absolutely. Then the absolute reality becomes prevalent.
The pure witness, whatever that might be, is, although it's a pretty neat thing, it is part of the duality.
The pure witness is beyond duality, but it's not realization.
Well, there is a witness. Is there not a witness that is... There's
experiencing
witnessing objects, isn't that a dualistic situation?
Yes, you can call it dualistic, sure.
This is a two-part question.
What's the other part?
Okay, maybe the word pure witness. Let's assume there's some kind of a witness that there can be an experience of witnessing objects in this kind of wonderful, magical, detached way. So I guess you really answered the third part of the question. On the way to reality, eventually that has to go too.
Yes.
And that dissolves.
The pure witness can be compared to the screen.
And now the second part of the question is just sort of speculative, I guess, but on the way to this reality business, whatever it may be, could it be that some people maybe hang out more in that witness space than others?
Well, of course, it's all very possible. People hang out in all kinds of places.
You don't have to spend a certain number of hoogas in the witness before you can...
Is that a question?
What did you say?
Is that a question you asked?
It was starting to be one, but I stopped in the middle of it, so it didn't make any sense. I'll
be quiet now. The screen is the witness of all the images superimposed on it. The screen is also like the paper on which typeset is imposed on it. You type on the paper, but if you didn't have the paper, you couldn't type on it. You have to have the paper in order to be able to type on it. So what we do is we read the words, the images, and forget about the paper which is imposed. The words are superimposed on the paper. So it is with us. In reality, you are like the screen or the paper. And all of the world images are imposed on you, superimposed on you. So in a way you can consider that duality, but it's a very high state of duality.
If I can be noisy again, can you sort of talk about, as long as you're going to be talking about this kind of thing, can you sort of talk about two kinds of witness experiences? You can surely talk about a witness experience where there's an experience of kind of being a witness or witnessing objects, be they thoughts or physical things. You can talk about that kind of experience. But isn't there another kind of a witnessing that you frequently refer to that doesn't have that particular division between a witnesser and that to be a witness?
As long as you are witnessing, there has to be something that you witness. There has to be an object to witness, or you couldn't be the witness.
But somehow there's some kind of awareness that happens that include the same sort of things, even though they're not objects, so to speak.
You're speaking about the time they talk about the paradox of being the self and also seeing the images. Which is a paradox. Where you realize yourself as the self. The way a yani that is embodied sees the world. The yani sees the world as a self. Everything is a self, and that's never forgotten. Everything is a screen. And all the images people place in things are superimposed on the yani. The yani is aware, one, that he or she is all-pervading omnipresence. Two, there's nothing else but the self, which is the yani, the expression. Three, the yani is able to see both. The objects, like the average human being sees them, but sees them as the self. So it becomes a little mind-boggling when you get to that stage because you can't explain it. There are no words to explain this. The finest can never comprehend the infinite. But suffice it to say that only the self exists. And all is well. Mary, why don't you read the ending?
For a yani who has realized the identity of his inner being with the infinite Brahman, there is no rebirth, no migration, not even liberation, for he is already liberated. He has established, he has firmly established, in an experience of the absolute existence, knowledge, bliss, the Satchitananda Atman. The continued existence of the world and of his own body appears to the yani only as an illusion, the appearance of which he cannot remove, but which cannot further deceive him till the time when, after the decease of the body, he wanders not forth but remains where he is and what he is and eternally was, the first principle of all beings and things, the original, eternal, pure, free Brahman. While living, and even when the body falls dead, the yani rests in his own essential nature, his own svarupa, that is all full, all pure, timeless, consciousness and bliss. The following assertions, made by yani, constitute his own deepest convictions and experience. I am infinite, imperishable, self-luminous, self-existent. I am beginningless, endless, decayless, earthless, deathless. Never was I born. I am ever free, perfect, independent. I alone am. I pervade the entire universe. I am all permeating and interpenetrating. I am supreme peace and freedom absolute. Ayani lives forever. He has attained life everlasting. Cravings torture him not. Sins stain him not. Birth and death touch him not. He is free from all cravings and longings. He ever rests in his own Satchidananda Svarupa. He sees the one infinite self in all, and all in the infinite self, which is his being. He remains forever as the infinite self of consciousness and delight.
Thank you, Mary. Now, let us sit in the silence for a while. We are not meditating. We are simply sitting in the silence, observing our thoughts, watching what goes on inside. Do not try to change your thoughts or push them away. Just observe, watch, and everything will take care of itself. Om Shanti, 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 Om. Please. Do you have any messages?
No, we do have some of the new transcripts that came in today on the table.
We have prasad. These look good. That's a good thing. We have candy. For
oh my gosh.
This is great.
Oh, that's a heavy one.
We have peaches. Oh. This is beautiful.
Oh my gosh.
Isn't this, did you go there before?
No, they were on the table, they just said. I'm just bringing them.
I'll take the one. I'm going to take one. I have to take one.
We have some delicious figs. Peaches. All kinds of good things.